Welcome back. I'm Ian Masters, and this is Background Briefing. And joining us now is Timothy Carr, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Previously, he served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He has also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time, The New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. He blogs at Media Citizen. Welcome to Background Briefing, Timothy Carr.
Hi, Ian. How are you?
Well, thanks. And the president nominated lobbyist-turned-venture capitalist Tom Wheeler on Wednesday to be the new chairman of the Federal Communications Commission. Wheeler has headed both the National Cable and Telecommunications Association and the Cellular Telecommunications and Internet Association, and he is now a venture capitalist with Core Capital. So he's basically been a lobbyist and heading up these two trade groups who are interested in pretty much one side of the issue, are they not? I mean, this is not a public advocate we're talking about here, is it?
Well, he also has one additional qualification that's probably important in the eyes of the Obama administration. He was a top bundler for the Obama campaign. So he has also done some pretty significant favors during the election by raising a lot of money to support Obama's election and re-election. So, yes, there are significant reasons from the perspective of a public interest advocate and from the perspective of a consumer advocate to be concerned about the experience that Wheeler brings to the job. Now, there's one other interesting aspect of his tenure, and is that he's also maintained a blog in which he's blogged about telecommunications and media issues rather extensively. So we can pore over some of his writing there and get a sense of where he might stand on some important issues that the agency will face in the coming years, issues like net neutrality, issues like universal access, issues like how we're going to use spectrum so that the new generation of people using wireless smartphones and things like that won't be slowed down or won't have their connections blocked in certain ways. So it's an important time at the Federal Communications Commission, and we are hoping that Wheeler's critics are wrong and that he'll actually be someone who supports the public interest.
So what can we learn from his blogs?
Well, he's written about a lot of issues. He wrote about the AT&T T-Mobile merger. People might remember a couple of years ago that AT&T tried to gobble up T-Mobile and create one of the largest wireless carriers going. And that merger was ultimately blocked when the Department of Justice said that it would sue on trust grounds, antitrust grounds. And he wrote about that, saying that it might have been better to allow the merger to go through because it would have allowed the Federal Communications Commission to regulate a merger. There's a debate going on between whether you would rather have a regulated monopoly like the old Ma Bell, or whether you want to have unregulated, a competitive marketplace. And he was arguing that he would have preferred approval of that merger, creating this massive carrier, so that the FCC would then have the opportunity to regulate in the public interest. So it was a somewhat nuanced position. Free Press, of course, and a lot of the public interest groups opposed the merger full stop, and he had a little bit more nuanced position there.
Well, he obviously wasn't a customer of AT&T because they have the most appalling service. And they spend so much of their money on advertising and lobbying, but they don't invest in cell towers, et cetera.
There was another fallout potentially from that merger as well, which was the loss of potentially tens of thousands of jobs. You know, mergers of that scale they end in massive layoffs. In the industry, they like the term these things rationalizations or. But what ultimately mergers of that scale mean is that you'll see a lot of layoffs across the industry. So that it was pretty vehemently opposed on those grounds as well.
Again, I'm speaking with Timothy Carr, who is the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. Previously served as Executive Director of MediaChannel.org and Vice President of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time, the New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. And he blogs at Media Citizen. And we're talking about President Obama's appointment on Wednesday of a new head of the FCC to be the chairman, Thomas Wheeler, a lobbyist and a representative for two big industry trade groups that are very much interested in the FCC and have a lot of issues before the FCC. And we're discussing the lack of or the fact that an advocate for the public was not chosen, given that we always hear that the public owns the airwaves and we lease these airwaves out to the likes of Rupert Murdoch. And here in Los Angeles, of course, we're very concerned that the FCC would allow the Koch brothers, for example, to buy the Los Angeles Times. So there's no question that the deck is stacked against the public. And you mentioned the issue of net neutrality. That comes up at the end of the year. The court is going to rule on that. And unfortunately, it's the D.C. Court of Appeals that isn't dominated by Republicans and always rules against the White House, as they did recently on stymieing the recess appointments that the president has been forced to make because of the Republican filibuster in the Senate. Now, the Janikowski rules could well be struck down, could they not? I mean,
yes, absolutely, and you're absolutely right that that federal appeals court has not been particularly good on a lot of issues, and this is and they're going to be deciding on one of the central questions for the FCC, the question of whether or not the Federal Communications Commission has the authority to protect consumers, in particular, to protect consumers' ability to speak freely and choose freely via the internet. There are two sides of this argument going right now in Verizon, which has filed suit against the FCC open internet order, is claiming that the First Amendment gives it the right to censor the internet. It's a sort of Orwellian a twist of ideas that you could only imagine a corporate attorney for a communications company making up. But their basic argument is that Verizon and other internet service providers have the First Amendment right to censor internet users. And what we have argued at Free Press and others is that the FCC has the authority through the Telecommunications Act to protect internet users' right to choose what websites they want to go to, what services they want to use, whom they want to share information with, without the ISP interfering and saying, well, wouldn't you rather use, you know, our video streaming service, or wouldn't you rather use our VoIP service rather than other services that might be available on the marketplace? So this, the central question before the court is one of the FCC's authority, and you're absolutely right, given the track record, we expect that by the end of the year, it could be very likely that we won't get a good decision from the court. The court will reject the open internet order that the FCC passed under Chairman Janikowski, and either remand it to the FCC for a decision. It may go to Congress to do something. It may go up to the Supreme Court for an appeal. We don't really know what's going to happen, but we're getting ready to organize people to make sure that ultimately whatever decision is made in Washington puts the rights of internet users before those of internet service providers.
So that argument that Verizon is putting forth in this suit, and the chances are that the Court of Appeals will rule in Verizon's favor, it's similar to the argument that Citizens United is based on. The First Amendment corporate free speech means that you can spend unlimited amounts of money in campaigns, and corporate free speech in this case means that you, as the owner of the pipeline, can decide what goes through your pipeline.
Yeah, and interestingly, yes, that's true. And interestingly, there's another Supreme Court decision called Brand X that happened in 2005 that basically said that the FCC does have the authority to determine what power it has over the Internet. And under the Telecommunications Act, which was passed in 1996, it gave the FCC the authority to decide how it classifies broadband Internet services. And that decision about how it classifies it determines its own authority. So interestingly, and I don't want to get too lost in the legal wonkery here, but interestingly, the FCC has also said that the FCC, if this court rejects the FCC's authority under the current order, the FCC has the authority to reassert its authority in a way that would allow it to protect Internet freedom. And it's something that's called reclassification of its authority. So there'll be a big debate with this new chair, with this new chairman, to whether or not he's going to take that action, because that would be a very bold action for the FCC to reassert its authority under what's called Title II of the Communications Act, because the very powerful phone and cable lobby look at that option as the nuclear option. And if he were to move in that direction, you would see the full force of AT&T, the full force of Comcast and Verizon come down on the FCC. So it could be a very interesting time in the wake of that court ruling in Washington.
But these companies that you just mentioned, they are the oligopolies that essentially already control the pipelines. They provide some of the worst service in the developed world for 4 or 5 times the price that you pay in other countries like France and other European countries, who have about 10, 20, 100 times faster broadband service for a quarter of the price. So these monopolies are so clearly putting themselves in a situation where they don't have to provide good services, but they can extract as much money as they like out of consumers. And, you know, the American people simply don't know what a bad deal they're getting. And then occasionally you get a glimpse of how the rest of the world operates, like in Chattanooga, where broadband was made universal as a utility, as a public utility in the Chattanooga municipality. Now, what's happening is that these Verizons and AT&Ts are now proactively suing in state and local governments to prevent them from providing this alternative service to the lousy service that they provide. So let's not have any illusions about what these big oligopolies want.
Well, I mean, the ultimate irony is that they, whenever you talk about the Internet, they like to use this sort of free market argument and say, you know, well, we don't need regulations. We have the free market. Let the invisible hand of the free market determine who wins and who loses in the Internet service. In the Internet service business, but on the other hand, if you actually look at what they're doing, is they're aggressively legislating away competition. You mentioned on the state level, there have been a number of these what are called anti-municipal broadband state laws. There was one in North Carolina. We just defeated one recently in Georgia, but they go state by state, and they try to legislate away competition. They try to take away local communities' ability to build their own broadband options so that they can maintain their local monopolies. And so that the reason that the United States is now falling behind most other developed countries in our ability to provide affordable broadband is because we've allowed these very powerful companies to create a marketplace that has absolutely no competition. And as anyone knows, when you don't have competition and you don't have consumer choice, prices go up and services go down.
And the citizens of Chattanooga have the fastest broadband in the country. I mean, it's really a complete disgrace. Timothy Carr, again, the Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press, when you say that the new nominee that President Obama has put forth, Tom Wheeler, a lobbyist for the telecommunications industry and a venture capitalist who bundled a lot of money for Obama's re-elections, well, original elections in 2008 and more recently, when you said that he has the nuclear option, maybe it could bounce back to him and then they could assert themselves. Well, so far, the FCC has not asserted itself. It has a provision in its own charter to assert its influence over the loophole in Citizens United that allows for these corporations to spend unlimited amounts of money, or billionaires like the Koch brothers to spend unlimited amounts of money on television advertising in political campaigns. Now, and we all know that that is where most of the campaign money goes, is in political advertising, and that's the way our campaigns are conducted, via television advertising. So the FCC has the ability to basically force the people who are putting these ads on the air to identify who they are.
Yeah, so the FCC, through broadcast disclosure rules, we can't reverse Citizens United through the FCC, but what we can do is force transparency on the system. As you noted, last year, more than $1 billion filtered into, up to $3 billion filtered to local television stations for political ad buys. And a lot of the groups that were making these purchases were these suspiciously sounding organizations like Americans for Prosperity, and they had these names that covered up the true sources of money behind them. And through broadcast disclosure rules that exist now at the FCC, we can force these advertisers, these political action committees, and these C4 independent political groups to disclose who their top funders are. And what we found in the past is that when you actually disclose the funders, you disclose the names of people behind a lot of these ads, the ads themselves are improved. A lot of people don't like their names associated with ads that spread falsehoods or that attack individuals. And so by forcing transparency on the system, you allow people in those markets where they're being inundated with these ads to at the very least know who that message is coming from. And if they hear a message that says, we're for clean coal, and it comes from Exxon or it comes from the Coke Industries, they know that message is suspicious.
But the point is, they could exercise this option, but they don't, the FCC.
They haven't exercised the option. We did have a victory in 2012 where we actually got, we forced the broadcasters to put their political files, which list the names of the groups online, so you can go to an online database and find the names of the groups themselves. But we haven't gone that extra step, which is to disclose the names of the financial interests, the individuals, the corporations that fund these groups. There's still a wall there that we need to break through.
Again, Timothy Carr, Senior Director of Strategy for Free Press. What do you make then of we don't know who the White House is going to put forth to replace the Republican Commissioner, Robert McDowell, who's stepping down, and that's the way these commissions operate. They have Republicans and Democrats, but the president gets to choose a Republican, and if he's a Democrat, he probably tries to choose somebody that's not a Tea Party type. And conversely, if he's a Republican, like George W. Bush, he chooses incredibly right-wing Democrats, as he did with the CTFC, which is another commission that oversees the commodities markets on Wall Street.
Yes.
So at the moment, Obama's designated the Democratic Commissioner, Mignon Clyburn, to be the acting chair. So give us a sense of who Mignon Clyburn is.
Mignon Clyburn is the daughter of a very prominent South Carolina congressman who came up through South Carolina politics. She was working for the State Utilities Commission in South Carolina, which is a very powerful agency, and she has been at the FCC now for, I believe, about 4 or 5 years. And she's proven herself to be a very, very diligent watchdog for the interests of communities of color. There have been a lot of issues around the ownership of radio and television stations and the lack of diversity there that she has shown concern about. So we're fairly confident that during her tenure, no one knows really how long this will be, that she will be an effective watchdog for the public interest.
Well, of course, her tenure will depend upon how long it takes to confirm Tom Wheeler. Just in closing, Timothy Carr, I recently interviewed Michael Copps, and I did a forum with him the other day out here at Occidental College. He is really an impressive guy, and he has been the champion for the public on the FCC. And he took the lone vote against the Comcast Universal merger that, instead of making it, as they promised, they'd make it better for the consumer, and they turned around and just bought more assets and consolidate even further. So he obviously is one of the good guys, and he's no longer there. So how much of a loss is the fact that Michael Copps has left?
Oh, it's a huge loss. He is a rare exception among FCC commissioners on either side of the aisle, and in that he really did look out for the public interest. He was very outspoken on the issue of ownership. It was during the tenure of Michael Powell, the FCC chair in the early aughts, who was very aggressive in trying to remove a lot of the rules that prevented media consolidation. And Michael Copps really was outspoken. He went to a lot of town hall meetings. He was a real champion of the public interest on issues of ownership. He's also been very good on internet freedom issues. And so he's now in the public sector. He is, or he's now actually in the working for civil society, I should say. He's at Common Cause. He's also on the board of Free Press, my organization, and has been a real, you know, outspoken champion. So he'll continue to be active, although it was great always to be able to count on his vote at the FCC.
And, of course, while he was standing up for the public under Bush's appointee, Powell, Michael Powell, the son of Colin Powell, Michael Powell is flying around in Warner Brothers' jet. I mean, the extent to which these guys are compromised by the power of industry is breathtaking. And it's such a rare exception that you have somebody that stands up for the public.
Well, I looked at the 26 commissioners who have served the FCC since 1980, and more than 20 of them, 21, actually left the FCC to work for companies that they were meant to regulate. So it's, if there's ever an agency that suffers from industry capture, it's the Federal Communications Commission.
Well, thank you so much for joining us here today, Timothy Carr.
My pleasure.
Again, I've been speaking with Timothy Carr, who is a senior director of strategy for Free Press. Previously, he served as executive director of MediaChannel.org and vice president of Global Vision New Media. He's also worked extensively as an editor, reporter, and photojournalist for the Associated Press, Time, the New York Times, and the Australian Consolidated Press. He blogs at Media Citizen. We're going to take a brief station break. We'll be back talking with executive director of Food and Water Watch.
We want the power for the people. That's all we ask in our country, dear. The sick and the hungry unable. Protect them and those who may live in fear.